Maybe we could make a start tonight to our service with the hymn number 211. It's on the screen. It's a lovely hymn. There is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it too. It fills my heart with hope and cheer. 'Tis old yet ever new. 'Tis old yet ever new. 'Tis old yet ever new. I know, I'm sure 'tis true. 'Tis old yet ever new. We'll stand while we sing, please. Bow together in a word of prayer that we might come to the Lord and seek his blessing upon our coming together this evening. Our gracious God and eternal heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence again today to thank thee and praise thee and worship thee and adore thee that thou art God and besides thee there is none else. We thank thee that thou art the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed three in one. We come before thee to thank thee for all thy blessings to us this day, thine own day, for to praise thee from the depths of our hearts. And we thank thee for each one that has been enabled to come out again tonight, and that we might know the presence of the Lord with us, that we might have that assurance in our heart that we're saved by God's grace and we're ready for our eternal home. We thank thee for the health and strength you've given to each one that has come, and we ask thee that you will come and that you will encourage us even tonight in this gospel service. For any, Lord, that cannot be out tonight, that are ill, not well, we pray that you will lay thy healing hand upon them and restore them to health and strength again. We thank thee that you can touch the body as well as save the soul. And we ask thee for any that are cast down and feeling the heat and the burden of this age in which we live, that you will put your loving arms around them and draw them unto thyself. They might realize that thou art the God that is still in control of this old world of ours. And everything that is happening has been allowed by thee for thy purpose, for the end time scene. And we ask thee, O gracious God, that you will come and help each one to understand and to look up, and not to look around us, but that we might look up to thee and know that thou art the God that sits upon the throne in the heavenlies, and there's nothing happens but that thou dost allow it or bring it to pass. And we ask thee that you will come and touch each one connected with the church, that they might know God's hand upon them. Bless the area in which the church is placed here in Armagh. We pray that you will come and touch the hearts of those around this area, those in the housing estates and further out into the country areas that are not saved, that you will come and open their hearts and draw them to the foot of the old rugged cross. And we ask thee that tonight, as the word of God is preached across this land of ours and down in the south and across in the mainland, we pray that there might be signs following the preaching of the word of the living God. We thank thee that you're adding to your church daily such as should be saved. And we ask thee tonight for that moving of God upon this land of ours again. We realize, Lord, that you moved different times down through the years. And Lord, we ask thee, wilt thou not move again amongst us and send us that moving of God, the Holy Spirit, that will bring conviction of sin upon the hearts and minds of the ungodly and bring them savingly to the foot of the old rugged cross. Pray for all the preachers that preach tonight that are true to the blood and to the book. We pray that there might be a moving of God upon each congregation, our ministers, students, and laymen, that they might be blessed of God. We ask thee to bless our ministers that are not well at this time, that they might know the touch of the Master's hand upon them and soon be able to return to their pulpit again. And we pray, Lord, that you will come and bless us now. We ask thee in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. We're turning again to another hymn. And this time it is the hymn 312. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. And we'll stand together again while we sing, please. Resting place, not in device nor creed. No other argument, I need no other. We're turning tonight to the book of Revelation and to the chapter 6. The book of Revelation and the chapter 6. We're going to read this chapter together, just 17 verses in it, beginning to read at the verse 1. Revelation chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. The power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there were given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell from the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she was shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We know that God will bless this reading from his own precious word this evening. I'm going to ask our brother and Billy Hill to come now and make the necessary announcements, please.
We welcome everyone to our evening gospel service. And if you're visiting with us, you're especially welcome. And again, we give a special welcome to our preacher, Mr. Ronnie McLean, from our OMA congregation. The announcements for the rest of the week. Tuesday, 6:45, the children's bright hours in both the church hall and the Killalea band hall. Wednesday, 3 p.m., the broadcast on Radio Star Country. 8 p.m., the midweek service. The preacher would be the Reverend McMillan. Last Wednesday, the deputation meeting for Miss Christina Logan. The missionary offering given was £914.60. Yes, and we thank all who gave so liberally. Friday, 8 p.m., the youth fellowship The speaker will be Mr. Fred West. Next Lord's Day, the 24th of October, 10:40 a.m., the Sunday School and Bible classes, 11:30 a.m., morning service, 6:30 p.m., evening service. Preacher at both services, the Reverend McMoon. The next meeting of the church committee will be on Monday, the 25th of October, at 7:30 p.m. The Clougher Valley congregation opened their new church building yesterday afternoon. They are having four nights of gospel meetings this incoming week from Monday to Thursday at 8 p.m. The Reverend McIntyre will be the preacher, and everyone is welcome to attend. There is an advert for these meetings on our church's Facebook page. The Corrigarry congregation is having their annual conference during the incoming week. The meetings will take place from Monday to Friday at 8 p.m. each night. The theme is Rediscovering Our Place in the Great Commission. The full details can also be found on our Facebook page. And just a reminder, please remember to take copies of all the literature that is available at the doors of the church as you leave the service. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for that welcome, and we trust the Lord will bless us again. It's good to be back with you here in Armagh, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we come together for the gospel service this evening. It is always good when there's a church that has a gospel service, because there's so many that hasn't got, and after the morning service is the only one on the Sabbath day. But we thank thee for our churches that are open for men and women to come in under the sound of the gospel and to hear the good news of saving grace. We are turning now to the hymn 224 in the hymn book. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We'll stand again while we sing, please.
Lord.
Amen. We're turning to a portion of God's Word that we read together in Revelation chapter 6. And with God's Word before us, let's bow together just in a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight again. Before we turn to Thy precious Word, we thank Thee that it is the living Word of the living God. And we ask Thee to write it upon each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach Thy Word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. We're turning to this portion of Revelation. Now, I'm not going to get involved in prophecy, because you have an expert in your pulpit here, as you have. But we want to come to the last verse of that chapter that we read together in Revelation 6. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Down through the years that are past, many great tragedies have occurred. Day when hundreds of thousands of men, women, boys and girls have been wiped out. We think of the two great wars and remember those fallen who gave their lives for freedom. And yet I am sure that as those men faced the enemy, there were times when their hearts failed them for fear. The story is told of the Reverend Duncan Campbell of Isle of Lewis revival days, that he was in the army in his young day during the war. And we're told that during the First World War, as his platoon were about to go over the top, many realized that they would not come back again. The officer in charge sent for Mr. Campbell to hold a prayer meeting, and many cried unto the Lord before they went out over to lose their lives. The battle over, those who survived had returned. Mr. Campbell sent his batman to the officer to call a prayer meeting to thank God for those that were delivered. The officer sent word back, tell Campbell to go to hell. Fear soon subsided as the danger was over. How our hearts are moved when we read of Hitler's gas chambers as millions of Jews were destroyed by that evil man. The stories that are and have been emerging from some of the communist countries controlled by the communist people of mass murder and repression would make even the hardest heart quiver. Saddam Hussein and the destruction of his own people. Yet these things will look like a child's birthday party compared with the terrible day up ahead, the great day of the wrath of the Lamb that we have read about here in Revelation 6. And I want us to consider tonight, first of all, who is it that is coming with wrath? It is none other than the Lamb that sitteth upon the throne, the King of Kings, the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? The psalmist answered, the Lord of hosts, He is the King of Glory. And you know, in the Bible, we see the babe of Bethlehem's manger. We see the Jesus who stood and wept at Lazarus' grave. We see the miracle working, healing, restoring, compassionate Christ of God as He walked the shores of Galilee for 3 years. We see the Lamb of God slain on Calvary's tree for the sins of His people. This same Jesus, now exalted on high, that tonight is willing and ready to forgive the sins of all that will come and call upon Him for salvation, ready to accept them into His family if they repent and turn from their wicked ways to serve him. But in Revelation 6, now we see him in mighty power, coming in wrath upon the sin and sinners who have rejected Jesus as King of their lives. We have this same picture in the prophecy of Isaiah in the chapter 2. And you can read that account when you go home. Isaiah chapter 2 and the verse 21. To go into the clefts of the rock and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Isaiah could see a future day when the majesty on high, the Lord of glory, coming in judgment, would come in judgment upon all those who have rejected him as Savior. Who is this one that is coming with wrath? The Lord Jesus Christ, King of glory, the judge of all the earth. In John 5 and 22, we have the words, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." And what a day that is going to be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again in wrath. You know, we need to sit back in this day and age in which we live, with all the modern technology that we have around us, and we need to settle down and realize that there is a day coming when all this in the world today is going to end. Who is this that is coming with wrath? The Lord Jesus Christ. And then we want to look at who is the wrath poured out upon. In Romans 1 and the verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. In Ephesians 5 and verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with any vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." These things were in verse 5. Whoremongers, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. The wrath of the Lamb will be poured out upon all unrighteousness, all Christ rejectors, all evil men and women, all unbelievers. In John 3 and 36, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And you know, this is a day and age in which nobody wants to talk about judgment or talk about the wrath of God or God dealing with sinners. It is a day whenever even those in the religious field, they all class him as the God that loves everybody, and if you do the best you can, somehow or other, when you get there, your sins will be put in one scale and all your good works on the other, and if your good works are not enough to cover your sins, God will love you so much, he'll take you in. And that is the nonsense that has been taught across the world today. Today, many defy God. They reject God as the only true God. But in the day of the wrath of the Lamb, all men everywhere, from all walks of life, will tremble with fear at the presence of Jesus. And you know what a day that is going to be. Think about it just for a short moment. The day when God comes in wrath upon all in this world, sinners that have rejected him. The verse 15, "The kings of the earth, those who deny that God of heaven, shall suddenly quake with fear." Their position as head of nation or nations will mean nothing. They'll be like Belshazzar the king, who in the midst of his great feast was stricken by the power of God. The finger of God wrote on the wall. And so scared was he that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. Kings will fear on that day. Great men, prime ministers, bankers, scientists, world famous authors, actors, singers, industrial giants, businessmen, all the learned of the day will be struck with fear as God's wrath begins to be poured out. Rich men, multi-millionaires will tremble. Chief captains, the army generals will fear. Bondmen, those that are held captive by evil regimes, free men, all, whether bond or free, rich or poor, king or captain, will call upon the rocks to fall on them, try to escape from the terror of the Lord. What a scene that is going to be. But let's bring that down to a local level. If that day were to come now, the rich farmers who live around this area of Armagh, who reject the gospel, will tremble with fear. The great businessmen who live around this area would tremble with fear. There's no fear in them today. They believe what they think is right, and they do whatever they want to do, and they're not the slightest interest in you or me preaching to them or telling them that they're in need of a Savior. But on that day, the rich farmers, the great businessmen, the unsaved ministers of this land of ours will cry out in fear. And you know, there are many unsaved ministers who preach the gospel that is not according to the scriptures, a false gospel. And you know, it is sad that there are more and more coming out in this day and age that they don't believe parts of the Bible and parts of God's precious word. And you know, it's going to be an awful day for unsaved ministers of this land of ours. The Roman Catholic priests and bishops and the Pope of Rome will cry out in fear. Those that would hinder men and women coming to this gospel service tonight or to any other gospel meeting is going to tremble in fear on that great day of the wrath of God. The murderers of the IRA, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. The bomb planters, payment day will have arrived. We just had the anniversary not so long ago of the Oma bombing. And I can remember that day very, very clear when we heard the bomb go off, and on the road where I live, the first news came that a young girl just across the road from our house had been blown up in the bomb. Then came news that there was another girl over in the park behind that had been blown up in that bomb. And then came the news that a man and his son just up the road, a few hundred yards, and one of the estates up there, parks rather, had lost their life. And you know, as that day went on and we heard that one after the other, and I would have known most of them, done business with them. And you know, it is a tragedy for the people that are left behind that they cannot get justice. And the look for justice, and rightly so. But there is a day coming when those that planned the bomb, planted the bomb, and those that let it off, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Payment day will have arrived whenever that great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? The wages of sin is death. No one will escape. You see, in this land of ours, if someone who has been a murderer is taken to court, there has barristers there fighting their case, and so on and so forth. But on that day, there will be no barristers. And there will be no devil. But they will stand before God, and they will realize what they did, and they will accept what they did, because there's no devil to say anything to them. And they'll stand there before the eternal God of heaven. The payout day for sinners will have arrived. And you know, not only for the murderers, but for those who have sinned. Liars. You say that isn't a big sin. No, it's not, but it's a sin. Adultery. You say that's not a big sin, but it is a sin in God's sight. And all that are in this area, right around Arbaugh, and out into the countrysides and all over this land of ours, every single person that you meet was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And they are sinners in God's sight, and they are under the judgment of God. And the day will come whenever they will be cast into the lake of fire. No one will be exempt from the wrath of God. The day of the Lord is going to be a terrible day. The day that sinners believed would never come. The deception of their heart and the devil that deceived them is gone. And now they realize the truth of God's precious word. Can you hear the screams from townland to townland? From village to village, from city to city, from county to county, or from country to country, all over the world. This mighty, terrible shout of fear. Cry that will rend the hearts and pierce the souls of man. No escape, no hope, just the terrible judgment of God. A great open lake of fire. I was telling someone this morning that when I taught Sunday school in a Presbyterian church when I was about 17 or 18 years of age, we were in the vestry before we went up to the little hall, and the classes were all round the hall, and whatever the minister and me got into conversation, he didn't believe that there was a place of fire. Hell was a place of fire. And we went up, and he opened the Sunday school, and then he come down and he wagged the finger at Ronnie to come out. And I never liked that, because when I was at school, when the teacher wagged you out, it was out to hold out your hand to get a slap on the hand. Of course, if they'd done that nowadays, they would get jailed. But in those days, you held out your hand and you got caned for what you did wrong. But he called me out and he says, you know, Ronnie, when you've been to Trinity College in Dublin, and when you've had the learn Greek and Hebrew, you will realize that there is no such a thing as fire and hell. And I said to him, Mr. Rowan, could you tell me this? Who do I believe? You with your degrees out of Trinity College in Dublin, or Christ, God's Son, when he said seven times in the one chapter that it was a place of fire, and he turned and ran. And that was the end of the conversation. You see, the Bible is the final authority. Not what man thinks. Not what degrees he has in any language. Or how smart he is. But what does the Bible say? And the Bible says, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The wages of sin is death. And you know, it is sad today that there are even ministers who are in churches, saved men. I remember going to a funeral some years ago, and I knew the man very well that was being buried. We had family connections through my mother and his wife years ago. And I went to that funeral, and when I came to the graveyard, the saved minister, he buried him in the sure and certain hope. And you know, the next time I met him, I said to him, tell me this, did that man get saved before he died? He says, no, he didn't. Well, I said, how could you bury him the way you did? He says, you didn't listen. He said, I didn't say which resurrection. There's two resurrections, one unto life and one unto death, and I didn't say which one. And I said, in other words, what you did, you deceived the people around that grave into thinking that that man had gone to heaven, when you know, and I know, that he never made any profession of faith in Christ as his Savior. And you know, this is the world that we're living in today. People take the Word of God and they twist it to suit themselves and make themselves look good. And they won't preach the gospel and warn men and women. Another minister said to me one time, a Presbyterian man, he says, Ronnie, you know, he says, if I preach the gospel as Ian Paisley does and the Faith Mission does, he says, and Billy Graham does, he says, they would throw me out. And he says, you know that, and I'm not going to do it. And you know, so sad that those people sitting in that church under that man weren't warned. What will hell be like for a minister who doesn't preach the gospel when he gets there? What a tragedy of the world in which we live. But then we want to look at who shall be able to stand. Is there any escape from this terrible judgment? No one will be able to stand in that day. The king is coming as a judge, not as a savior. Tonight, Jesus is the savior of the world. And on that great and terrible day, he will be the judge. And I believe the saved of earth will be removed, taken home to glory. At the end of the reign of the Antichrist and the great tribulation period, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 tells us, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, isn't that something tremendous? For each one of us in this service tonight, or someone listening perhaps over the airwaves, if you're saved by God's grace, there's a day coming when Christ is coming again. If you're dead and in the grave, the graves will open. Your grave will open and you will be taken up. If you're still alive and saved by God's grace, you will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And you know, it is a sad thing. I was at the graveyard, or the grave of my father and mother, some couple of years ago, out to see that it was tidy and clean. And as I stood looking at it, I thought, there's a day coming when that grave is going to open and my father and mother is going to rise. You say, how do you know? Well, way back in the 1930s, two faith mission pilgrims came for a mission in Glenageara, Orange Hall. Now, some of you wouldn't know where that was, but it's not far from Kelly's pub on the Ballygolly Road, away in the country, in towards Glenhoy direction. And they came and they put a caravan at the side of the hall, and they went out and they invited people to come. And the first 3 or 4 nights of that mission, nobody came in. And they were going to have to write to the district pilgrim to say they would have to move because no one was coming in. There was no telephones in those days or mobile phones. But they were going down the road and they saw this field, and it must have been this time of the year or around it, and they saw this crowd of people gathering potatoes in a field. And they went back and put on older clothes, and they went down and lifted a basket, and they gathered potatoes all day, and no one spoke to them. And in the evening, they asked the farmer, could they announce the mission? And he said, yes, you can. And they announced the mission, and that night the hall was packed. And that mission was one of a tremendous mission, and my mother was saved in that mission. Those pilgrims, one of them and another one joined her, was moved round to Newton Savile Orange Hall, just a few miles round. It's on the main home of Ballygolly Road. And my father was saved in that mission. And because they were saved in those days, and I looked at their grave, I knew that that grave will open and they'll go to be with the Lord. And as I looked around that graveyard at other graves, there was other graves, and I could see people who I knew had been saved. But there was others that I knew had never professed any faith in Christ. And I thought, what a terrible tragedy it's going to be, that those that were saved, those graves will open, and each one will go to be with the Lord. But for those that weren't saved, will be remain in that grave. Who shall be able to stand? No one will be able to stand on that day, because the believers will be gone to be with the Lord. What a tragedy that men and women, young people, will reject the Savior, reject God's way of salvation, reject God's Son as their Redeemer, reject God's love, and have to face the awful day of His wrath. But thank God, Jesus tonight is the loving Savior, with arms outspread, ready and willing to pardon you from your sin, to receive you into His family, and to take you into heaven when you die. And you know, that is tremendous. Why can Christ take you to heaven? Because He paid your debt that you owe to God for your sins. The judgment of God upon you for your sins from the day you were born to the day that you're living in now, all those sins have to be paid for. But Christ paid the debt for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He was punished in our place. And we thank God that the Savior came and purchased salvation for us. But you know, there are many tonight, and they know that. They have been taught that, and yet they haven't come and put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the first step on the way to heaven is a realization that you're a sinner, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, under the wrath and judgment of God. And the second step is that you realize that there's nothing you can do to make yourself acceptable to God. You can live as good a life, and there are some good people living in the world today amongst all the rascals that are about, but there are still some good people who do their best to live a good life. But there is one thing certain: it will never ever get you to heaven. The debt has been paid, but you must come and accept Christ as your Savior. But the third step is that you realize that Christ died for you, that he's willing to pardon you if you come and repent of your sin and turn to him. When I was in business many, many years ago, there was a woman came in, maybe I told you this before, and she bought a washing machine. And she said, "I'll pay you for it at the end of the month." And I said, "That's okay." I obviously knew her or I wouldn't have given it to her. But anyway, at the end of the month, she came in and she says, "I'm sorry, Ronnie, I can't pay you. I have got a bill or something from the solicitor, but I'll be in at the end of the month and sort it out." And she came in at the end of the month and her in tears. She says, "I promised to pay you, but," she says, "at the minute I can't do it." And I said, "Well, don't worry about it. Whenever you can, pay it." But about a week later or so, in came this man. They said, "Does Mrs. So-and-so owe you money?" I said, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm her father." I said, "That's right, she does." "Well," he says, "she's in an awful state that she can't do what she promised you to do." So he says, "Make out a bill head and mark it paid." And he pulled out his checkbook. He says, "I'm doing for her what she can't do for herself. And I'll take her the receipt and it'll take the pressure off her." And he signed his check and filled it in. And you know, I have often thought that that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He has paid the debt for your sins. And he offers you salvation. Now, if that man had a went to his daughter and she chased him and didn't accept that he had paid it, that wouldn't have been very nice, would it? And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to man and woman tonight. They said, "I have paid the debt for your price. Come, repent of your sin. Turn from your sin and receive me as your Savior. And one day you will be with me in heaven forevermore. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And if you're not saved tonight, then I ask you, will you come and repent of your sin and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, to come into your heart, to cleanse away your sin, to make you a child of God, and to help you to live for him to the end of your day? And then it will be absent from the body, and it will be present with the Lord. And what a day that's going to be when we that are saved leave this scene of time and land on the heavenly shore to be with Christ forevermore. All pain gone, all death done away with, all our aches and pains done away with, we will be perfect in God's presence forevermore. Now, the devil can deceive you tonight, but when that day of the wrath of God comes, and right all over the world, everyone will realize that this Bible has been true, and they have refused God's offer of salvation, and they can no longer come to Christ as their Savior, and all they have before them is a lost sinner's hell. And we need in these days to pray that God will move upon the hearts and minds of individuals that we know of in our family, our friends, our relations, workmates, and those that we meet day by day, that we can warn them that they will come and trust the Lord as their Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now, there's a lot of ministers, and they don't use that word. They say God loved everybody, and everybody will be in heaven. But as whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you saved tonight? If you are, then thank God for it. And rejoice. And look forward to that day when you will leave this scene of time and be with Christ, which is far better. But if you're not saved tonight, then I ask you, will you not come to the foot of the old rugged cross, not to a free Presbyterian church, not to a preacher, not to a minister, but to the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, and say, come, cleanse me in your precious blood, make me a child of thine, and he'll do it immediately for you. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And that's the proof that you have. He'll take you in, and you'll be with Christ forevermore. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight, and may we be blessed in the days that lie ahead. Let's bow together in a word of prayer as we close our service tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art the Savior of the world even at this time. And we ask thee that men and women and young people that have heard the gospel message will come and trust thee as their Savior. And oh, gracious God, we ask thee that you will come and open the hearts and minds of men and women, and that they might be able and able to come and trust thee as their Savior. And Lord, we pray that there will be no one, Lord, listening to this message tonight in this church or on the airwaves that will remain unsaved and experience the wrath of God upon them in that day. We ask thee now that you will bless us in the days that lie ahead. Keep thy hand upon us. Preserve us from this virus and keep us in the center of thy will till that day comes when thou dost call us home. Part us now with thy blessing. Take her to our homes in safety in Jesus' precious name.